The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Well, we're continuing our series, Love Stinks. And have you been finding that in your home, things don't always go perfect? Let me rephrase that. Are you discovering in your home that nothing goes perfect? Even on like your best day, you're like, there's one thing that could make this day better. It's like ice cream would have just brought it up one more level, but it wasn't there. Or, you know, something might have happened that would make that day perfect. But we're always striving for that, but never quite reaching that. And last week, you got to hear from me. This week, we're missing two-thirds of our pastors. So that's kind of a sad thing. We're also missing two-thirds of our people, so I don't feel quite so bad, but off enjoying their Memorial Day weekend. So you get to hear from me twice. And last week, we talked about how we are doing a poor job of imitating God's love. And hence the you're giving love a bad name whole idea. And so we kind of are springboarding off of that this morning. So this morning, maybe you look back at your week. You look back at your relationships within the home, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's with your kids. And maybe you could be completely honest this morning and say, yeah, in my home, love stinks right now. And let me just say this. Things are not going to get any better unless something changes, or unless someone changes. And so this morning, we're going to talk about how that someone, if you have a relationship with Jesus, that someone is you. You are the one that can make that change in your home. And so this morning, we're going to take a little closer look at the man in the mirror. So maybe the first time that we've played Michael Jackson on Sunday morning at Remnant, I don't know. Maybe you brought it on your iPod and you've been listening to it several times during the services, but probably the first time. So thing about MJ is he always writes these songs that get stuck in your head. Okay, that being one of them. Hopefully that's stuck in your head. If it's not, we'll have Randy play it again for you and you can, you know, get it stuck in there a little bit better. So are you going to do that again, Randy? That was a hint. No, you don't have to, though. So for me, I'm always the guy that's trying to find, like, what's the meaning of the song? I want to look a little deeper and find out, you know, what I don't just want a catchy tune going through my head or a chorus that I can repeat. Who was I talking to this morning? Chris, we were talking about Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah song. And I'm like, I don't like that song. I mean, it has a cool melody and it's catchy and it ends up getting stuck in your head all day. But the story in the song is terrible. I mean, it's just this terrible story that where they're trying to somehow unite sexuality and spirituality, and it's not good. And so I figure maybe there's drugs involved in the writing of that song. But whatever reason, you get songs stuck in your head like that, and I like to have the kind of songs that have a meaning behind them and just are really communicating a message. And so I'm listening to this song because I titled my message this, not because of the song, but because of the passage we're going to look at. And I started thinking, you know what? Michael Jackson was pretty close to being right on in this song. You know, that change that has to be made has to start with you. If it doesn't start with you, it's probably not going to happen. But that change can ripple out and affect others as well. The only thing that he was missing from the song is where that change initially comes from. And that change can only come from Christ and the work of God's Spirit in your heart and in your life. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. We'll spend some time talking about the change that needs to happen in us in order for our homes to be a place where love doesn't stink. So let's look at 1 Peter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 5. And I'll read this, and then we'll pray and ask God to open up our hearts this morning. 1 Peter 2, starting with verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word, that it can be not only a guidebook for us as we seek to live a life that brings you honor, God, but also your word is a mirror, and it reflects the things in us that need to be changed. God, we can look at your word and we recognize that there are things about us that need to be altered, God, and it's something that we can't do. It's out of our control. God, you're the one that needs to make this change in us. And so I pray, Father, that this morning, as we look at this passage, which is so deep, God, there's so much here. I pray that you just help us take a little bit of this with us this morning, God, and that we would be able to tackle this idea of just focusing on us as individuals, God, and what we had to contribute to the homes that you've given us. God, we don't want love to stink in our homes, and we know that apart from you, it smells pretty bad. And so I pray, Father, this morning that as we look at your word, that you would give us the tools you need us to have, God, so that we can make it through this week and the coming weeks, God, as we seek to glorify and honor you, not just in our workplace and around our friends, God, but in those that are closest to us. Thanks, God. We love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 1 Peter, this is an interesting book. Someone once told me the theme of 1 Peter was suffering. So, and I read through the book of 1 Peter, and I was thinking, yeah, that's pretty right on. But we're not going to necessarily be talking about suffering this morning. We're going to be talking about a change. But sometimes change does hurt a little bit. Sometimes we have to step out of our comfortable place. I almost said comfort zone. We think of our comfort zone as this, like, bubble around us, you know, that we don't want anybody to invade. But really, we have to be the ones going outside of what's comfortable for us at times so that we can make our homes into places that are bringing God honor and that are welcoming and loving those that are in that place. So the first thing that I want you to take with you this morning from this passage is this: remove all toxins. We have to remove all toxins from our home. Okay, let's look again at verse 1. It says, so put away all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. So there is a laundry list of things that God wants us to get rid of in order for our homes to be homes that are bringing honor to him. So I look at this list and I say to myself, okay, these sound terrible, but I don't know if I know exactly what all of these things mean. And so let's take a little closer look. The first word, malice. Malice, it comes from the Greek word kakia. Desire to cause injury. Desire to cause injury. When I was growing up, I used to think my brother's middle name was Kakia, because it seemed like every time me and him got together, I got hurt. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about necessarily physical injury, okay? Malice is any time that you wish someone else harm. And that could be emotional harm. That could be, God forbid, spiritual harm. Or it could be physical harm as well. And you start to think, okay, am I really malicious in my family within this unit that God's given me where we're supposed to be loving to each other? Am I really someone who seeks the injury of someone else? That sounds like a pretty serious issue. But then I think back to times where I wasn't getting along with someone close to me, and I thought to myself, man, I just wish they would trip down the stairs. Not like a whole flight of stairs, but like two or something. You know, and have you ever thought, have you ever wished that something misfortunate would happen to somebody else? You don't want to admit that this morning, I know, but I also know that you're human, and so like me, there have been moments where your thoughts have been malicious. And God's saying, get rid of all malice. Second thing, deceit. Deceit. The word is dalos. Dalos. And it means a bait for fish. I love to fish. And my fish that I'm fishing for don't always love the bait. So I'll throw it out there, and I'll see if they'll take it. I don't usually like to put bait on a hook. I usually like to use lures and flies when I fish. But whatever it is I'm using, I'm trying somehow to trick that fish into responding. I'm trying to get that fish to do something that I want it to do by placing bait in front of them. I'm trying to manipulate a swimming animal so that I can eat it for dinner. Okay? So are we beginning to see a little more about this word, deceit? If we're really supposed to understand what deceit means in like its basis form, it's really trying to trick someone into doing something that's going to be favorable for you and not necessarily for them. Have you done that before? Don't answer out loud. Think about that. Deceit. I think back through the last couple weeks, and there have been times where I tried to manipulate somebody so that I could have a favorable outcome for myself. And so, guilty. What else does he want us to get rid of? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. So we think we already know what the word hypocrisy means, right? We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Hupokrisin, the acting of a stage player. The acting of a stage player. Pretending to be something that you're not. And sometimes that something, or I would say 98.9% of the time, that something that you're trying to pretend to be is something better than what you really are. We misrepresent who we are at times, and that's hypocrisy. God is calling us to be a people that are transparent with each other. And if there's one place where transparency is vital, it's within the home. In a relationship between a husband and wife, in a relationship between kids and their parents. Transparency is so important. And that's why we're instructed here. One of the toxins we need to get rid of is hypocrisy. Envy. Envy. The word is phonos. Jealousy of another's success. Desire to depreciate their worth. Oh, man. This is rough because when your brother or sister brings home a better report card than you, you're just like, no, no, say it isn't so. That's awful. Have you had somebody who had a successful, triumphant moment in their life, and deep down inside, you hate it? You hate that they're experiencing that moment, and you're saying to yourself, you know, I really wish that that was me and not them. As a matter of fact, your jealousy that's welling up inside of you is almost to the point where you wish there was something that happened to them that would depreciate their worth instead of elevating it. That's envy. And it's a toxin that God wants us to get rid of in our homes. Slander. The word is katalalia. It actually is a pretty sounding word. But it's an ugly definition. Speaking against or defaming. Defaming. I started recently using the word defame because it just, I don't know, it's just so descriptive. When someone tries to insult somebody else, but maybe not necessarily to their face, but they're insulting them by saying something that's not true about their character to somebody else. That's defaming. That happens a lot. There's a big word that starts with a G. It's not guacamole. Gossip. Gossip is a huge way of defaming people. Sometimes you can say something about somebody that may be true and you can still be defaming them. You can still be slandering somebody, even though what you're saying is true. But as people of God, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to focus on the good. We're supposed to focus on the things that are uplifting and encouraging rather than the things that are going to tear somebody down or destroy their reputation. But so many times, we're guilty of gossip, of slander. And you know, sometimes, I know we've mentioned this before, but sometimes we'll do it in the form of, you know, maybe wanting the best good for somebody. And so we'll say, you know, could you pray for them? Or we'll say, I'm really worried about this person because of this. And then we'll just begin to slander. We need to be really careful of that. It's toxic. Are we understanding what a toxin is? I think it's important for us to understand that toxins eventually kill. Okay? Toxins remove life. They're deadly. And this is why it's so important that we take these things and we get rid of them. It's so important to our homes, and it's important to our relationship with Jesus that we're constantly removing these toxins from our home. In fact, if your home is going to be a place of peace and unity, you've got to get rid of the things that cause strife and division. You've got to get rid of these things. It just has to happen. And if it's not happening, guess what? Love is going to stink in your home. That's the bottom line here. Ephesians 4:22 says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception." So we have this former way of living in which that laundry list of all those terrible toxins were okay. They were okay to be a part of our life because that was the former way we lived before Christ came in and changed everything. But once we've been redeemed and once God's Spirit lives in us, a change happens in us. And if that change is going to be effective, these toxins have got to be gotten rid of. We've got to get rid of these things. I love how the Message rewords Ephesians 4:22. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. Every once in a while, my wife will clean out the refrigerator. And you know how sometimes you can have something that was at one point delicious, and you remember back to when it was cooking on the stove and the room was filled with an aroma and it was just wonderful, and then it sat in the fridge for like 2 weeks and the aroma changed. And the look of the food even was altered. And so you pull it out, you're like, that's brown. That means it was yellow when we cooked it. And you're staring at it, and you're like, what is this? Why is it in my fridge still? So my wife will sometimes clean out the fridge, and so things just happen to get behind other things. And she'll pull it out, and she'll be like, oh, yeah, that needs to be tossed out. And she won't stick it in the regular garbage because she's afraid that if she sticks it in there, we'll leave it in there for the rest of the day. And, you know, the house will start having that kind of that funky odor. And so she'll put it out on the countertop, which does the same thing. but also it's like a reminder to the husband, hey, this needs to go outside. This needs to go away. It's rotten through and through. And that's what this passage is saying. Anything that belongs to the old way of living stinks. That old way of life where we lived for ourselves, and we were taking our instructions from Satan. We thought we were in control. We thought that we were in the pilot seat, but the reality is we were in the passenger seat, and we were allowing the enemy of God to govern our lives. And so all of that garbage has to go. We've got to get rid of it. So remove all the toxins. And the second thing, be replenished. Be replenished. Like newborn infants, long for the spiritual milk of the word, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. I like this idea of being replenished because so many times we work so hard to get rid of certain things in our life, but we don't do anything to replace them. And what happens when you get rid of something that's a bad habit? It leaves a vacuum. It leaves a hole. There's a gap there. It has to be filled. And you know what it's going to be filled with if you don't fill it with the things that are honoring and that are healthy? It's going to be filled back up with that thing you try to get rid of. That's what happens. And so We're called to be replenished. When we get rid of those toxins, God wants to replenish us. And I love the wording here, like newborn infants long for the spiritual milk of the word. And it's fascinating, these words that are used here. There's actually a word and a phrase that when you combine them are actually only one word in the Greek. So the word spiritual and the phrase of the word is actually one word in the Greek. Logikos. Logikos. It means nourishing to the mind. Nourishing to the mind. God wants us to not only get rid of the things that are bad for us, that are unhealthy for us, but he wants us to take on, to bring on those things that are nourishing to our hearts, our minds, our souls. And those things, my friend, are only found in the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to get some healthy bit of information somewhere else, but it's not going to be soul nourishing. It's not going to be nourishing to your mind. It may be a good tip to live by, but when it comes to God's Word, there is nothing that cuts deeper into your life and evokes change. And that's what we're talking about, being replenished, being revitalized, being nourished by God's Word. And then the last part of this verse says, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is good. I like the word, you know, the word good, we've run across this a few times in our scriptures that we've been looking at the last few weeks. Frank shared with us a definition for the word good, which meant clear and in the focus. Okay, it was describing the way your vision is, being able to see the plan God has for you, having good vision. We talked last week, we used the word agathos. Okay, we talked about this idea that something is to be admired, that kind of good. Well, here we have an entirely different word altogether. It's the word trestos, which means actively beneficent in spite of ingratitude. If that doesn't describe God, I don't know what does. God actively doing things that are healthy and good for us despite our ingratitude. Have you ever done something nice for someone and they didn't say thank you? Have you ever wished you could take back a nice thing you did for someone because they were so unthankful? Have you? Okay, all right. I'm not alone on that one. That's good to know, because I'll do something that's nice for somebody, and obviously I'm not doing it out of the right motive if I'm doing it because I want someone to be thankful. But it kind of helps. When someone says thank you, it kind of makes you want to go back and do something nice for them again. And especially if they're really thankful with like a gift card to Starbucks. You're like, yeah, I'm going to do nice things for that person all the time. But think of it in terms of the way God treats us. God is so good to us all the time. God is doing things. He's actively moving and speaking on our behalf. And yet, the response from us is so ungracious. The response from us is so unthankful. But it doesn't change who God is. Our response to God never changes who God is. That would change me, but it doesn't change God. Ephesians 4:23 through 24 from the Message says this: and then take an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. And so we experience the goodness of God, and we experience the fact that God's goodness keeps coming and keeps coming regardless of our response to it. And then we recognize that God is saying, I want to build up those same character qualities in you. I want you to become more like Jesus and become more like me. And this is the invitation that we have. This whole idea of being replenished is the idea that we can take on these things that are characteristic of God. These are things that are necessary for our lives. If we don't want love to stink in our homes, we need to take on these characteristics that God displays for us. Once you begin to experience the healthy effects of God's word in your own life, you can make a spiritual difference in your home. Once you've experienced it for yourself, and you have owned it, you've possessed it, then you can begin to make a difference in your home. But the change has to start with you. I mean, let's go back to MJ, right? I mean, it has to start with us, because we know Christ, because we have a relationship with Jesus. And if God is making a change in our hearts, that change has to come out somewhere. There has to be evidence of that change. And I believe the evidence of that change is going to be us modeling the characteristics that make God who he is. We need to be replenished. It's not enough just to remove those toxins. We have to replace it with something. And God is calling us to replace those things with his character. Colossians 3:12 says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Now compare that list to the list of things that we just got rid of in response to how God wants us to live in our homes. I mean, that is a description of a home where love does not stink, only because it's modeled after God. Matthew 5:6 says, "God will bless those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." We look for satisfaction in so many things when God is saying, you know what really satisfies? It's when you're hungry and thirsty for me. When your greatest desires are for me, that's when real change happens. So God wants us to be replenished. And the only way we can be replenished is through his word. It's through the instruction that he has for us. The third thing I want you to take with you this morning: not only remove all the toxins, not only be replenished, but embrace your new role. Embrace your new role. And why do I say embrace your new role? I thought a lot about this because I wanted to somehow express to you this idea that there's a new way of living that God wants us to be a part of. And so we actually have to step up into the role that God's calling us in our lives. And for some of us, that's a big step. For all of us, that's a big step. We have to embrace this new role. Verse 4 and 5 says this: "As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So God is calling us to be like Christ in the fact that Christ is the living stone. God is calling us to be that same foundation for our families. God is calling us to take on those attributes of Christ so that we can be the thing that our homes are built on. And that's not to glorify ourselves, but that's to glorify the fact that Christ has made a change in us. He's changed our lives. We're a brand new creation in him, and it's a foundation that God can build on. And so maybe this morning you would say, well, I'm the only person in my home who has a relationship with Jesus. That's awesome. You know why that's awesome? Because that means that God has a stone that he can build a foundation on in your home. You might say, you know what? I feel all alone because I'm the only one that really loves God and wants to do right. And I say, praise God, because you can be that stone. You can be that foundation that God can build on in your home. Let's take a closer look at the word for stones that God wants us to be. The word is lithos. And it means this: various stones on top of or resting upon one another. That's interesting, because when I first heard it, I thought of it more as like one big rock. But it's actually pieces that are put together in the right place. My son loves Angry Birds. And how does a four-year-old become enamored with a mobile app? Well, it's because of the little birds. They're angry at the pigs, right? You guys know the story, right? Don't say I'm alone in this, because What happened? The pig stole the bird's eggs? Is that it? I'm trying to understand Angry Birds still. And so the birds are so upset, and so what they're doing is they are throwing themselves at the pigs and destroying the buildings that the pigs are in. And as those buildings are collapsing, the pigs are dying, but also the birds are too, which doesn't make sense to me. But whatever, it's a great game. The kids love it. And so my son wants to play Angry Birds, and so we have bought him from time to time these Angry Bird toys. And so what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to build these things for the sole purpose of knocking them down. So I lay on the floor in my son's room, and I start building these, and he tells me where everything goes. I can't just go and build my own little thing. He has to tell me where each piece goes. And then there's a for him, there's a storyline behind this. We're not just throwing things at blocks. It's like every bird has something that they're passionate about, and every bird has like an agenda, and they're like, okay, let's get together, guys. Let's talk about them. Like, son, where are you getting this from? When I look at the game, it's just the birds are just hopping around. And then you launch them with the slingshot. But no, he's got this plan, and he has it all figured out. And so my point is that eventually everything that we have carefully constructed collapses all at once. And then we just start rebuilding again. Just start rebuilding it again. I want you to grab this concept of being living stones in our home, of our lives being the building blocks of the character of God that we just talked about. I mean, those things are carefully placed in our lives for a reason, and they're stacked up just right because God is building this foundation. And what happens when something goes wrong, when we misrepresent God in some way, those blocks begin to fall apart again and break down, and God is calling us to continue to build those things back up, continue to rebuild. And this is to say that maybe you're the one in your home that loves Jesus and wants to live for him, and you're the representative of God in your family, and God's calling you to be that foundation, that stone. What happens when you screw up? Do you just abandon the whole thing? Are you just like, I failed the level. I'm done. The pigs won. No. You start rebuilding again. See, God is calling us to be constantly and actively building on this foundation. And the truth is, if we're willing servants of God, if we tell God, yes, we're willing to be the ones, we're willing to be the foundation, God says, you know what? I'm going to do the building. And God has a little better mortar than us. He can put those things together a little bit better and stronger each time. And so we lean on him to do that. Like living stones being built up a spiritual house. To be a holy priesthood. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, we don't always think of ourselves as being priests, do we? I mean, you think you've got to wear something to be a priest. And you have to hold certain things. But God is actually calling us to be priests in our home. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you have a relationship with him, he's calling you to be the one in your home that's representing him. That's what the royal priesthood is all about. It's all about us representing him before those that don't know him. And through us, they come to know who Jesus is. And so God is saying, I want you to offer spiritual sacrifices. What is this talking about? Look at the word spiritual. Pneumatikos is the word in Greek. It's influenced by or proceeding from the Spirit. Influenced by or proceeding from the Spirit. So the spiritual sacrifices that we're supposed to make, the acts that we do in our home, should be coming from God's Spirit that lives in us. So it's not something that we're doing just because we think it's a great idea. Or just because we're like, hey, love stinks in my house, I got to do something about it. No, because we're being obedient to Christ and we're responding to the work that his Holy Spirit is doing in us. And so everything that we do in our home is a response to what God wants us to do. Romans 12, verse 2 says this in the Message. Readily recognize what he wants from you. and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Notice it's God. Notice it's God doing that, and it's not us. Because we can't stand up and brag and say, yeah, my home is great because of what I did. No, if it was up to you, it would be a disaster. That's why the series is called Love Stinks, because that's what it's like when it's just us. Romans 6:13 says this, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. So God is inviting us to become a tool in his hand. God is inviting us to become an instrument in the hand of God that's being effectively used in our homes. Now, you may say, I feel alone in this, but the reality is you have the power of God right there with you. You have that same power that brought Jesus to life, the same power that Jesus used when he was here on earth to perform miracles, the same power that caused a change in your own heart and drew you out of the darkness into the light. That's the kind of power that you have when it comes to being an instrument in your own home. See, once you realize that God has set you aside for a specific purpose in your home, everything you do becomes an act of service to him. And so it's no longer, I'm going to do this because I love my wife, or I love my husband, or I love my kids. It becomes, I'm going to do this because I love my Savior. Because I love my Savior. And then you know what happens? God puts that love, that same love that he loves us with, he puts that love in you, and you're able to love the people around you, the people closest to you. But you're not loving them with your own love, that weak love that's wishy-washy and fickle. You're loving them with a love that's unchanging, it's uncompromising. That's what God's doing in us. And let me say, I'm going to kind of close with this. Let me speak to parents and future parents. There's an incredible passage in Deuteronomy. I want to share this with you. Deuteronomy 11:19. It says, you shall teach them to your children. It's talking about God's word, God's instruction that comes directly from the mouth of God. It says, you shall teach them to your children. Talking of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. That pretty much covers your entire day. All the time. And maybe sometimes you're not necessarily using specific words, but you're constantly instructing. You're constantly imparting the knowledge of God into your kids. And I believe maybe not just for your children, but also maybe for your siblings. And if you're a child in your home, maybe you should be imparting these things to your parents. See, we must assume the responsibility of making sure our immediate and future family members have every opportunity to follow Christ. That's our responsibility. I don't think you understand that when God came up with this plan to reach your family for Jesus, you are plan A, and there's no plan B. You are in the best position possible to reach your family for Jesus, to make those changes within your home that are necessary for your home to be a home that's in peace and unity and honoring to God, instead of being a place where love stinks. That's our responsibility. And so I invite you, as God is inviting us, to step into this. Step into this plan. Activate this plan in your life and see what God does. Psalm 78, verse 4 says, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. Is your life a living example of a work that God has done in you? Is there evidence there that God has done something incredible in your own life? Because if there is, it's going to rub off. it's going to rub off. And so I invite you, first of all, to remove those toxins from your home. Get rid of those things that don't belong. And then that's going to leave a hole. And so you're going to want to fill that back up with something. So allow yourself to be replenished, revitalized from God's word, just like a baby is nourished from the milk. And then I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you to embrace that new role that God's given you, that position that he's given you in your home, whether you're the only one that wants to live for Christ and whether you're in a family that you would describe as a Christian home, but maybe love still stinks, something's wrong there. The love of God isn't being displayed, and you could be the agent of change in that home. And that's what this series is all about. It's about us effecting change in our home because we have the answer, because we're connected to the vine. We have a relationship with Jesus. And that's, my friend, that is what is going to make the change. That's what's going to make the difference. We take the look at the man in the mirror and we recognize there's some things that need to change in us before God can make change happen in our homes. So I invite you to step into this plan that God's laid out for you. Would you bow your heads with me?
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.